The psalmist said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Almighty God, Creator and sovereign ruler of the whole universe, we marvel that you are not only so awesome as to control all things after the counsel of your holy will, but also concerned enough to make every snowflake perfectly, and to number the hairs of our head and the days of our pilgrimage. So we know that as we gather here today to give Christian burial to a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, your eye is upon us. Please grant that the comfort of the Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus might be richly and abundantly ministered to every believing heart, and everyone who is not in Christ, may there be a beckoning to come to the Savior to find peace and joy everlasting. May it all be to your honor and glory and to our good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The scripture that has been chosen by the family is the first 14 verses of Job 14. Indeed, let it speak to our hearts as I read from that precious word, the very hope that Job has, the trials that he went through, and yet the great help he can be and will be to us today. Man is born of woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest, till like a hired man he finishes his day. For there is hope for the tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that his tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not wake nor be aroused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you may appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the answers of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. May God add the blessing of the reading of his word to our hearts and lives.
The man who asked that question was probably a contemporary of the patriarch Abraham that you read about in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. He lived before Jesus Christ had come to the world. He observed what happens to man and described it accurately. Man dies and is laid away. As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. That was the very truth in the day when Job wrote those words. But he couldn't help but cry out for something better. And so he said, if a man dies, shall he live again? As far as I know, in the history of the world, there are only three answers to that question. One of them is the prevailing answer today in our culture, and it is an emphatic no. Our culture, the institutions of the United States of America today, from the Supreme Court right down to the public school, are dominated by the false dogma of the evolution of man. The idea that the whole thing, the whole universe, and man included, is just a big accident that took eons of time to happen, and man is nothing more than a link in the chain of existence. It's not even certain, on the basis of this theory, that the human race is anything stable, final, and eternal. It may be, as some theorize, that man will somehow muddle through and continue as a species. Some even boldly talk of the day when man will take control of his own evolution. But the trouble with all of this for me is that it gives me no comfort whatsoever, because I am not a species. I am not the human race. I am one individual. And what I want to know is, if a man dies, if I die, will I live again? I have a relative who firmly believes the teaching of modern science. I heard him say one time, when you die, you die, you're finished, and that's that. That is the prevailing answer given today in our culture. But it was also the prevailing answer thousands of years ago when Job wrote these words. And indeed, we have an entire book of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written to express the cynical sense of despair from this world and life view, in which the bottom line is, there is no difference between man and beast. Is that your view? Is that the answer you give to the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? If it is, I sincerely pity you. You are in a terrible state. The second answer that has been given to this question is a kind of yes and no answer. It is also very popular today in this country, and may I also say, in much of the visible church. One of the most popular books in recent decades was a book entitled Life After Life. Some parts of it, I believe, were reproduced in Reader's Digest, and a lot of people thought very highly of these stories. They were personal testimonies given by people who had been pronounced clinically dead by some doctor, and they said it really wasn't painful or terrifying at all, but rather something quite pleasant. And I remember one of them said, and I quote, "You can take my body and do whatever you want to with it, because I know that my soul and spirit will go on living without it." That was based upon one of these supposedly out-of-the-body experiences in clinical death. So the yes and no answer says, yes, man does live again. As far as the soul or the spirit is concerned, he does continue in conscious existence. But the answer is no for the physical man. The bodily, physical nature of man, because here, indeed, death is final. If you've ever wondered why cremation becomes more popular, that's one of the reasons. Our ancestors didn't believe in burning human bodies because they expected a resurrection. The modern, unbelieving age doesn't believe in a bodily resurrection anymore, so why not burn it? When I labored for years in New Zealand, where liberalism has eaten the heart out of the Christian church, Almost everybody is cremated today. The sad thing is that many nominal Christians today have accepted this teaching. But I want you to know it is not the teaching of the Bible at all. To the contrary, it is exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Greeks in Athens, I was there a few weeks ago, and stood where Paul the Apostle preached to the skeptical Greeks, and they believed exactly this second answer, yes and no. After man dies, the spirit, it goes and it lives forever, but the body, well, that's that. And along comes this man, Paul the Apostle, and he preaches to them a totally different answer than any answer that had ever been heard before anywhere in the world. If a man dies, will he live again in both spirit and body? And the answer that the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles and disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave was yes, he will live in both spirit and body forever. Now you can't say that there was no truth at all in the old pagan tradition. What the Greeks were blindly groping for in their ignorance is a part of the promise of the gospel. The catechism that I love, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, says quite rightly, based on the text of Scripture, the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. And we know that's the case because Christ said to the dying thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he was, because Christ cannot lie. But the glorious thing about the good news of Christ is that it doesn't stop with that teaching. No, it also goes on to talk about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. "Do not marvel at this," said Jesus, speaking of this very thing, "for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves," and that's bodies, folks, that's what's in graves, bodies, "all who are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of condemnation." That's also the beautiful teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism, on which I'm sure Gertrude was nurtured in her youth. "What is your only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." And what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? The answer is, at the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. So the whole man, body and soul, will live again at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. Outlandish, incredible, almost too good to be true? Certainly, folks, it sure is. And I wouldn't believe it if I didn't know Jesus Christ and know him to be absolutely truthful. But it was Jesus who said this, not some inconsistent lying sinner. So, as always, the bottom line is, what do you think of Christ? Do you think he lied? Do you think he who commanded the wind and the waves to obey and they obeyed him, do you think he can't raise up a dead body from the grave? Come on now. I once heard a liberal theologian speak about the triumph of the Spirit of Jesus. Any of you people infected with that heresy? It would be more accurate to say the triumph of the body of Jesus. Far more accurate, because that's what turned the world upside down. It was the empty grave out of which walked the physical body of Jesus Christ the Savior, who said to his disciples, and I'm quoting from Luke, "Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." The gospel preached in this Christian church here is the gospel of a bodily, physical, flesh and bones resurrection. And I'm here to tell you there is no gospel without that. You can call it gospel, you can say it's Christian, but it's phony, it's fake, it's pseudo, it's worthless, and it has no comfort for me because I want to know the answer to that question. If a man dies, will he live again? Yes or no? If the answer is no, we've got no more comfort for anyone than any other religion in the whole wide world. If the answer is yes, then we have the only message that can comfort anybody. And it is the message that compels us to go right on saying with the apostles of old, there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful for the intermediate state where the souls of believers pass immediately into glory to be with Christ. I'm thankful for that. But I'm a lot more thankful that the whole man is going to be redeemed, body and soul, at the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know it's true because Jesus said so and then proved it by rising again in the selfsame body in which he was crucified. And he told me in his holy word that even though it does not yet appear what we shall be, yet we know that we will be like him when we see him as he is. If a man dies, will he live again? I hope all you people are asking yourself that question. Do you believe? The answer is no. Or, like a lot of other mislabeled Christians today, yes and no. I'm here to tell you, you're not Christian at all unless you say yes. Because all of God's promises, this one included, are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. May it please God to enable us to believe it, and believing it, to be comforted according to the wonderful words of the apostle with which I conclude. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May God grant it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, grant today to every believing heart the abundant consolation and comfort of the good news of Christ and the work he did and the manifest evidence he gave that he is victor even over the grave, so that we can look today once again at the cold grave and realize that the victory will not belong to the grave, but to him who conquered it and promised that we shall conquer it too when he comes again. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.